Chapter 21. The small electroclarification laboratory was, for some reason, maintained at a temperature somewhat lower than normal, and Dawes Venerbilly wondered idly what that might be. She sat quietly waiting for the one occupant of the lab to finish whatever it was she was doing. Dawes eyed the woman carefully. Slim, with a long face, not exactly attractive, with her thin lips and receding jawline, but a look of intelligence shone in her dark brown eyes. The glowing nameplate on her desk said, Cinder Monet. She turned to Dawes at last and said, My apologies, Dr. Venerbilly, but there are some procedures that can't be interrupted even for the wife of the director. And I would have been disappointed if you had neglected the procedure on my behalf. I have been told some excellent things about you. Oh, that's always nice to hear. Who's been praising me? Quite a few, said Dawes. I gather that you are one of the most prominent non-mathematicians in the project. Monet winced. There's a certain tendency to divide the rest of us from the aristocracy of mathematics. My own feeling is that if I'm prominent, then I'm a prominent member of the project. It makes no difference that I am a non-mathematician. That certainly sounds reasonable to me. How long have you been with the project? 2.5 years. Before that, I was a graduate student in radiational physics at Streeling, and while I was doing that, I served a couple of years with the project as an intern. You've done well at the project, I understand. Yes, I've been promoted twice, Dr. Venerbilly. Have you encountered any difficulties here, Dr. Monet? Whatever you say will be held confidential. The work is difficult, of course, but if you mean have I run into social difficulties, the answer is no, at least not any more than one would expect in any large and complex project, I imagine. And by that you mean? Oh, occasional spats and quarrels. We're all human. But nothing serious. Monet shook her head. Nothing serious. My understanding, Dr. Monet, said Dawes, is that you have been responsible for the development of a device important to the use of the prime radiant. It makes it possible to cram much more information into the prime radiant. Monet broke into a radiant smile. Oh, you know about that. Yes, the electroclarifier. After that was developed, Professor Selden established this small laboratory and put me in charge of other work in that direction. I am amazed that such an important advance did not bring you up into the higher echelons of the project. Oh, well, said Monet, looking a trifle embarrassed, I don't want to take all the credit. Actually, my work was only that of a technician. A very skilled and creative technician, I like to think. But there you are. And who worked with you? Oh, didn't you know? It was Tamwile Elar. He worked out the theory that made the device possible, and I designed and built the actual instrument. Does that mean he took the credit, Dr. Monet? Oh, no, 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 you mustn't think like that. Dr. Elar is not that kind of man. He gave me full credit for my share of the work. In fact, it was his idea to call the device by our names, both our names. But he couldn't. Oh, why not? Well, that's Professor Selden's rule, you know. All devices and equations are to be given functional names and not personal ones, to avoid resentment. So the device is just the electroclarifier. When we're working together, however, he gives the device our names, and I tell you, Dr. Venerbilly, it sounds grand. Perhaps some day all of the project personnel will use the personal name. I hope so. I hope so, too, said Dawes politely. You make Elar sound like a very decent individual. He is, said Monet earnestly. He is a delight to work for. Right now I'm working on a new version of the device, which is more powerful, and which I don't quite understand. I mean, what it's to be used for. However, he's directing me there. And are you making progress? Indeed. In fact, I've given Dr. Elar a prototype which he plans to test. If it works out, we can proceed further. It sounds good, agreed Dawes. What do you think would happen if Professor Selden were to resign as director of the project, if he were to retire? Monet looked surprised. Is the professor planning to retire? No, not that I know of. I'm presenting you with a hypothetical case. Suppose he retires. Who do you think would be a natural successor? I think from what you have said that you would favour Professor Elar as the new director. Yes, I would, responded Monet, after a trifling hesitation. He's far and away the most brilliant of the new people, and I think he could run the project in the best possible way. Still, he's rather young. There are a considerable number of old fossils, well, you know what I mean, who would resent being passed over by a young squirt. Is there any old fossil you're thinking of in particular? Remember, this is confidential. Quite a few of them. But there's Dr. Amaral. He's the heir apparent. Yes, I see what you mean, Dawes rose. Well, thank you so much for your help. I'll let you return to your work now. She left, thinking about the electroclarifier and about Amaral.